Alrighty, guys. Welcome to episode 3.5. It is 3.5 because I did promise the team that I was not going to release an episode 4 before the end of the year. So 3.5 makes it okay. A little shot at AMG there. But anyway, tonight we have two wonderful people. We have the return of Aaron Troger, who is the captain of Panic Dice Mouth and the winner of the Crates Cuts Champion. Welcome, Aaron.
Okay, hey.
And yeah, it feels good to finally win something, right?
It does. I've come second in so many tournaments.
Well, we'll get into that a little bit more a little bit later, but we also have a very, very special guest from the other side of the world, battling time zones. We welcome Mr. Connor Holmes. Welcome.
Hey, good day, and welcome from the world of yesterday or tomorrow. Yeah. I never got it right way around.
Yesterday.
It's Monday over
where
there.
Where tomorrow lands.
Oh, Monday. That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good evening. It's not too early for an iced tea, right? I mean,
no. Honestly, it still kind of freaks me out at 37 years old, having grown up in a world of technology, that I am talking to you two, 12,000 miles away.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
I know. It's like I just came out of a cave. It's great.
So I brought him on today because Connor is actually our current leader in the Big Mouth Award for the Trilogy Tournament. And we thought, hey...
Which look, everybody is currently surprised about, Nobby, because I'm such a convivial and pleasant individual.
I found this hard to believe. So look,
universally regarded as sweet-natured, quiet, non-verbose. I mean, I'm just the sort of person who sits back and listens. I'm the fly on the wall.
Yeah,
I've absolutely no idea how this is happening.
Well, Connor, for those who don't know, give us a little bit about yourself. You know, how you know, your history, a little bit of X-Wing, where you're from, for starters, for the, you know, because you are not okay. In Australia.
No, I'm Northern Irish, and if you can hear the screaming in the background, that's my four-year-old. I started playing about a month and a half before lockdown. I'd put chips on a table twice, so all of my play is on TTS, effectively. I have about 1,400 hours. And yeah, I've had a pretty good last few months. Like a five top cuts in GSP, top four in Camino. And just like Aaron said, I've yet to do the win one, but I've done an awful lot of top fours. And I'm on Spicy Podcast with Mr. Pocknell. Well, we were during the XCC.
Yeah.
We're very likely bringing that back when IMG solidifies these rules.
Yep. Well, you can also even bring it back for Trilogy. I mean, weekly updates, you know, spicy hot takes.
I think it's not a bad idea. I mean, there's two of us in it because, as has been duly noted, one told us to fuck off.
Oh, yeah. Well, so let's get into that because so some of those may not actually know. So what is your team consists of, and who would dare snub the Northern Irish?
I just think the best part of it is I'm fairly certain this is the first time in Ollie Pocknell's history that somebody has not joined his team when being asked. No, it'll be totally fair. Liam has a lot of real life stuff going on, so it wasn't I'm going over here, I'm going over there. And then for anyone who doesn't know, Liam Baker got relatively world famous by being the only guy not to make an XTC team, having applied for every single team on planet Earth, one after another, and who is in fact shit hot the game. So when Trilogy came around, he got invitations to two teams at once, and eventually snubbed them both.
Oh. But,
yes. But, I mean, he's been replaced with Dominic Flanagan. It's not like we had to scrape the bottom of the barrel. I mean, Australia probably don't know Dom. He'd be more over here, but the phrase top eight tends to just follow his name at everything. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to putting on a show for you guys.
Yeah, it sounds like you got a strong team.
I'm more than happy to say we will burn your bridges and destroy your villages and ravage. And I can't keep using the other word, though. Yeah, I'm fairly content. We'll do all right.
We've heard it here. These are the favorites now. If they don't win it, then don't bother coming next year.
Oh, don't worry. We'll be defending the trophy next year.
Oh, we do have...
So how many teams...
We have right now we have 27 teams. We have a an extra team for the Lone Wolves. I have enough people in there to put together a team. I was just making sure that nobody was in this, like having two teams and needing a third. So the Lone Wolf team will be going in this sometime probably end of this week, given time to organize their lists, which will make 28 teams. If we get two more, that's 30. That's a really, you know, that's a magic number I'd like to see. And I'm finalizing extra prizes for everybody, as well as the cut mechanics of it, because it's twice as big as I expected it to be, and I'm overwhelmed. Not overwhelmed, but I'm...
Yeah, I remember in the early phases of this, I was saying, oh, we're hoping to get 12 to 15 teams.
Yeah.
This was a recent discovery for me. I ran a team event. I do a local 24-man max cutoff twice a year called Keeping It Family, and I ran it as a team event this year, and I put up on September 1st and said, right, guys, 8 teams and that's it. I'll revisit this in the early October. September 3rd, I filled up all the slots. Like, literally just bam, 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 bam. Team events are really popular.
Yep. Yeah.
And Tauntaun, which is we're a fairly small server. We try to keep it that way. I think we've 6 teams in this event.
Yeah.
Like, Trilogy and Nobby's running a team event. They're like, ooh. And all of a sudden, it was just bam, bam, bam. Everybody started fighting for places. Like, that's awesome. That's class.
Hey, I like to hear it. I mean... Yeah.
Well, in my personal experience, I think X-Wing actually works really well as a team game. It's I find it much more enjoyable a team tournaments than the single tournaments, just because the stress level's nowhere near as high.
And really?
You can share in your team's victories, and if you have a loss and your other two teammates win, then it's so easy to brush off that loss.
Yeah, it's here's the other way around. So I'll give you the very brief story of me in the XTC. We were against the Philippines, and it's a knockout round for us. We have 3 of those in a row to get into the finals, which this is the first one. And I'm at a wedding, and our team is 3-0 when I go to that wedding. I pick up the first beer, and our team is 3-3. Right? So I put down the first beer. I'm driving that night. I get back at 6 a.m. to get a team. I get back that night, and I'm up at 6 a.m. to get a teammate on to run a quick practice of this, because this matchup's shit for us. Like, it really is. I was last because I was like, I'm getting my ass kicked, and it's not going to matter. It's going to be great. No, we're 3-3. So I'm up at 6 a.m. to practice this one out to eventually play that game. Now, we take it by a cup, but sorry, I'm getting harassed by work. And for some reason, me turning off the ability, the do not disturb, is not working. So we do pull it off. But the point is, the pressure level, like, I can lose. I can lose and be like, eh, but you're about to lose for Ireland.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, slightly bigger. And not more than that, you're going to knock Ireland out by losing for Ireland.
Yeah, but you had a bad matchup, so it's not your fault.
Well, the bad matchup, I was the boss. I wasn't meant to be one that mattered. We just had massively bad luck in three, or all the rest of them.
Well, we weren't going to bad luck, because we don't want to bring up the Australian performance.
Let's not. It did take us like 4 weeks to finally beat the bye, but, you know, hey, we finally did do it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the spicy roundup, we were reading through that team list and going, well, obviously Australia's a competitor in this, and yeah, okay, Australia, like Oz is, or the US is there, blah, 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 but we're, you know, we could be either, blah, blah, blah. And then Australia is just, well, you know what happened.
Well, yeah. I believe I wasn't a team, so I didn't keep too much of a track of it. But I believe we got 3 or 4 opponents in a row who had a bye before us, before versing us.
We got to a rough start, and I think we lost like 3-4 or one game. Just kept on doing like just under the what we needed to win. And often there'll be a game that will be like a big dice swing or whatnot. But I think like round two opponent had a first week bye. Then a round 3 opponent had the second week bye. And then the round 4 opponent had a third week bye. So we literally...
I don't remember this particularly,
but we had 3 opponents that had a week prep in an event that you're going, like, your list are dropped and then you go straight away from week 1. So we, like, that's a little bit of a... That was the only thing that, like, probably we felt a little bit hard done by. That and dice, but we won't go into that. It was still an enjoyable event, all that and said and done. But yeah, like we felt that having that weak advantage prep work for, you know, something of this caliber was a little bit of an advantage.
Well, it's massive depending on how you look at it, right? Because we had this chat online, and I remember somebody saying that. I was like, why does that really matter? And then I thought to myself, hang on, I've put 20 hours of practice in this week for this event. Imagine having the ability to put 40 or 50 hours of practice in against the list you know you're going to play. I was like, oh yeah, that sucks. That's really bad.
That was probably our saltiness, but you know, look, hey, it just happened to be like that, and you know, we also we dropped the ball in a couple of matches, so it's not just that. There were many, many things at work, but the good news is none of that's going to happen for Trilogy Tournament. No.
And I'd say it's fairly likely XTC next year will be similar formatted. I mean, I don't see the world reopening in the next 3 or 4 months, so
no.
So Australia will get to raise their flag and charge back at the middle.
Oh, yeah. I like to see it go again, definitely on the online, because it allowed so many more countries to join in, whereas I guess before it was usually just Europe, wasn't it?
Again, I'm less than 2 years at this game, so when the XTC was around last time, I wasn't playing at all, but it was in Poland, so I think that's a fairly safe assumption that yeah, for me, that's a $70-$80 flight. For you guys, that's $2,500.
Yeah, a couple of grand. Yeah, yeah. Sell your kidney. That's pretty much how you afford to go out. Basically, it's to teams that can afford to go over there, you know.
I should say to Aaron, I've been in Australia for almost 2 years of my life. I try to get back every couple of years, but I was meant to be back last year. I was meant to be back this year, but hey, the world keeps ending. And you guys refuse to open your fucking doors.
Oh, you should try getting across the state borders.
Hey, they are
very international.
They
New South Wales and Queensland and WA are just like, nope.
No.
So
I'm trying to imagine somebody trying to get to WA for whatever particular reason there would be.
They basically succeeded at this point.
Yeah, nice 4 week drive across the desert. Anyway, sorry, Nobby, I'm hijacking.
No, you're right. This is why we're here, just to gas bag a little bit. So what do we get up to? We talked about so the one question I have for you is why do you have such a big mouth for Trilogy Tournament? We know you've got your teammates behind you. You know you've been doing pretty well. Is there any like secret sauce? You did mention something about a hot sauce bet.
Are you under the impression that I've got a big mouth because I genuinely think we're going to kick all your asses, or I'm just really good at saying that? I mean, that's very different. I mean, I've been looking through the names of who's been coming into this, and I'm not even convinced we're the favorite top UK team in this event. So,
there's some big names
So I'm pretty good, as it were, at talking the talk. But no, there's no secret cunning plan for any of this. No, saying that, I mean, the last team event I played, we finished second, and the only mistake we made was I got two teammates who played FO and Sis. I play FO and Sis, and that was a problem. This event, we made absolutely sure we had somebody who could cover all bases. So unless something drastically changes, I think we know what we're playing.
Well, I can't say the too big of a problem, because Nobby plays Resistance. Our other teammate, Matt, plays Resistance, and I play First Order, so we don't see any problems with this.
Yeah, it's worked out quite well in that regard. But it is, in fairness, a major factor. It definitely was last time when we were basically coin flipping to who's taking what First Order list, and the First Order lists were vastly different as well. Like, Liam was playing Malorus, and I was playing some form of Ace Bomber list. It's like, we just chucked a bloody faction out effectively. But yeah, I mean if you say secret sauce, Dob Flanagan's playing the thing he's, you know, top X and system opens with for since day one, so I wish you all the very best of luck against that. And it's not unlikely that you'll see me play something that I've made cut with numerous times as well, and Ollie's Ollie, so
doesn't matter what he plays. Yeah,
we'll just ban him from Empire and we're all sweet, right?
The last time Ollie played Empire was in Kamino. So, I don't think you'll be seeing him back on them again. He had a rough couple of days.
He just recently won the Wild West. The Wild Open. I think.
He did.
From Hexile Gaming, with Rebel
Wild Space Open.
It was, what's it called?
Wild Space Open, that was a shit in my head too as well. It's like, what's it called? Wild Space Open. Yeah.
Wild Space Open, that's what it is. Yeah, he just won that with Rebel List, so we have to ban him from Rebel List. We will have to ban him. I know he's flown his previous that he was like Resistance, Ray and Poe List. We'll have to ban him from Resistance. Is there any faction that we can actually throw at him that he cannot do well in?
Never seen him play droids.
Yeah, yep, okay, so yeah, droids. I'll amend the rule document to include a restriction for Ollie. Yeah, yeah, that seems the way to do it.
Yeah, okay. We've got to handicap him somehow.
We already have handicapped him. I'm his teammate and captain.
Oh,
there you go.
you get to choose where his matchups are.
Again, I love that concept. I just put a good captain on the forum. It's like, well, you're the captain of the team. Like, I've got Ollie Pocknell in it. I mean, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying yes or no.
Ollie, tell us what you want to do. We'll take care of the rest of you.
Connor, can you play X? Yes. That's the end of that. Goodbye.
Can you take this loss for us? Yes, I can.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that I will be bust fairly frequently in this one.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop talking about the damn team. We have a plan for this, and we never, like, you've got three players who never, ever play anything without the intention of winning it. Not the expectation, but the intention. So
I think that's a strength. Nobody's going to get the strength of Panic Dice Map, our team, is that we've got three players who are more than willing to take the bus.
Yeah.
Wait, we are? We do?
Yeah. Okay, we've got two players who are willing to take the
bus. You should say Nobby's not showing up on this. We should have a quick shout out to your team event, because this is probably one of the most ironic things in the world. I've got you in Australia, and I've got Andy in Canada, and you sent me a PM, but this is coming on live. I was like, oh, great. And then I realized that Andy had asked me to play test your matchup earlier in the week. And when I get on, he's using my target locks. I'm like, I don't think I've ever had an event where I've had no horse in this race whatsoever. I kind of want you both to win. Yeah. And you're both, what, 6,000 miles that way? No, he's like 8,000 miles that way, and you're 12,000 miles that way. It was class.
You bet on me, right?
It's the best I've ever seen. It was the best I've ever seen you fly. That matchup is so bad for you.
Yeah.
If he gets everything perfect and you don't get everything absolutely perfect. Yeah. So when you throw up your list, I'm like, that's cool. I really like that. And Luminara with a CLT, with a Chopper, no CLT, I really like this. But he's the ace across the board. He hits harder than you. He's got more hull than you. All in all, I think you're in trouble. And then
first engagement, we were just like, oh no.
Oh, I wasn't that bad. I was like, I think you've got difficulties because your guy's behind. You've left Luminara in the tail. And I sent you that message saying that was a bit shit. But then your re-engaged three bike in block shot, he didn't call. He's like, oh, I think we're all back to square again. Yeah, and then it was just good from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was having,
and then I got DMs from him going, DMs from him going, I fucked this. Like, no comment. Carry on.
At the start of the match, I was basically, I had a plan, and I didn't like where I was going for like the opening engagement. So I turned in probably a turn earlier than I should have, but I had the option of doing the five straight, and I didn't want to give him a chance to like reset, like flip around and reset. But when I lost my red Jedi Knight early, I was like, okay, this has just gone from uphill, because I had planned that knight was going to stay alive. I expected it to stay alive, and it just died. It doesn't even get a shot off. We felt bad, and but the game I was able to turn around. Yeah,
bumped Garvin rolling hit crit naturally was oh.
I don't agree with you about turning in too early, because so that list has by essence has to get itself into the center of the board and pointing in a way that it can then spread out formation and cover its arcs. If you can stop it doing that and put it in a situation where it never gets to properly reposition, you can do it real damage, because the Hawk has to bugger off one direction, X-Wings are crap at turning round with any form of modification, et cetera, et cetera. By ramming a guy straight in the middle of that, he fucked this whole formation up. And he knew that. He was just a bugger. Yeah, that was exactly right. So when you went straight in the middle, I'm like, that might be your only way to win this game. Well, there we go. You did.
I pulled a win. You know, I had to carry.
But you had no pressure, though, based on what Aaron said earlier, right? I mean, you had no pressure in that game because it was a team event. You were totally relaxed, 1-1 in the finals. Why would you have any stress in that?
Actually, yeah, relating back to your early conversation, our other teammate copped some flack for losing what we thought was an easy matchup.
Matt,
he had,
did not.
What was
not,
it?
Not
Leia, he killed Poe real quick, and the head of verse was a resistance transport and two Y-wings with Leia, Luke, and Ahsoka, and he still somehow lost it.
See, there's a lot of psychological edge to this, right? Like, some of the best games I've ever played are games where you're just totally wired. Like, you're like to make Top Cut in whatever it's called, Alderaan, I had to go 200-0 twice. At which point I opened a bottle of wine and went, well, that's not fucking happening, is it?
Yeah.
So sometimes your best games are ones where you've got no chance, and your worst games are like, well, I've won this. Time to just float around and not take the mick, not make him feel any worse, not really stick the boot in. Kids, stick the boot in.
Yeah, always.
Stick the boot in hard.
Yeah.
Never relent.
Yeah, commit to the end.
No surrender. Sweep the leg. He ran into my fist. What?
Hit him with it out.
All right. What's next?
Okay. Before we go on to the news in AMG, and we've talked a little bit about Trilogy Event, I just want to give a chance for Connor, if there was anything happening in the UK you want to shout out, mention, anything?
I thought about this, right? So we've got a lot of chat about running a variety of events, and I've got one I haven't pulled up the diary. So there's one real-life event for Steel City coming up very soon, which I wish them all the very best of luck, because they've hit really bad COVID times for this. So, it's January 8th. God love them. And then the big one is the Sith Taker Open. So the Sith Taker Open is effectively the UK's version of a system open, because we don't have them anymore, or we may not have them back. So it's on the 4th of February, and it's pulling people, well, maybe on planet side, but we're peeling a lot of people out of Europe, and I think they're 200 plus at this point.
Nice.
I won't lie to you. I if I don't get to this, I may go to Downing Street and headbutt Boris Johnson. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. That's pretty much it. Bar that, the online, like our online events tend to be league based and casual, and I don't know if there's any other one except mine that runs as a sort of tournament structure, but ours, it's very, very small. Like GSP and then Camino and Lima and now Trilogy are vastly larger than anything we do.
Okay.
Good.
So I think that's it.
Okay. Well, Sith Taker opens. Keep an eye out for that if you're on the other side of the world and listen in, because we invited Connor. And they also have a good little bit of a podcast we're listening to. Shout out
The STO is going to be messy as hell. I highly recommend going. I'm landing on Thursday, leaving on Monday, and I am not going to stop drinking until the Monday morning. I mean, this is going to be fun. You can come and play ships if you want. I mean, Tom Reed's won it 2 years in a row. Somebody has to knock him off his tier, but please do. It's going to be such banter.
Awesome. All right. Now we got the fun stuff out of the way. We are going to talk about some serious stuff. So the one of the reasons why we're doing the episode 3.5 is we had the new rules come out, or at least revealed in an AMG stream, 4 days ago? I think it's 4 days ago now. It's Monday, Friday morning, something like that.
We have a few issues with that phrase, Nobby, to be honest, before you go into this. AMG stream and revealed are both words I take issue with when it comes to how they do these things, but carry on.
Well, you know how they spoil and give us news? It's normally through a paint stream, and this time it wasn't painting. It was an actual game, so, yeah.
I'm just watching the clouds for smoke signals, which will dictate the next rules change.
Well, I don't know when they're going to do it.
At least they used the right obstacles this time.
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's right. No comment.
Well, speaking of obstacles, they had new rules for obstacles. So we're just, for those who have been living under a rock and don't know about this, I'll quickly do a very quick rundown. But the news is out there. Just look at any Facebook page and you should be heard it. So basically, in the attempt to make things better and make things more meaningful in a dogfight, we have asteroids now guarantee a damage. And then you roll a dice, hit crit, you suffer another damage. No crit effects, just another second hit. Asteroids is also auto suffer a damage, and you get a stress. Debris is you gain a stress, and then you roll a dice,
there
you hit
go.
Crit, you take a hit. So you might get a hit, you guarantee your stress. Gas clouds are the scary one now, because they basically you guarantee to take a strain. You don't suffer damage. You're guaranteed to take a strain. You also then roll a dice on a hit or crit. You gain an ion. Well, rather you get crit, you get three ion. If you're a hit, you get one ion. But it basically means small ships have to be extra careful about going over gas clouds. The other changes to this is if you actually land on an obstacle.
You miss one. Because you missed one of that one. Asteroids also break locks.
No, gas clouds.
Gas clouds. Sorry, I'm doing what you're doing. Yeah, gas clouds now also break all target locks.
Also, yeah.
So it's like I missed that one, actually. They're nerfing the chaff cloud by making gas clouds the same thing.
Yeah, as Nobby's about to go on to the concepts of hitting, et cetera, it's not got a positive effect a lot of the time as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because you're losing the ones, your locks on opponents, but you're losing all the locks on you.
Yeah.
So you lose the lock you have as well, is that correct? So you lose the lock you have and the lock on you, both sides.
Yeah.
On Exile, last week, or a couple of days ago, whatever it was, I had three or four locks on a ship that ran into a gas cloud. So I found the gym.
You've ever seen E-Wing and you just run over a gas cloud before the engagement phase?
Pop.
Unlucky.
Sorry, Nobby.
No. Thanks for raising it. I actually forgot to mention that. You're absolutely right. The main thing about the difference between the obstacles is, too, is that if you land on any of them, they're all like the rock effect. You lose your shots. But the upside is if you fully execute over an obstacle, you still get your action, unless it's a debris and you're stressed and you don't have a way of removing it. But you get to perform your action. Though the downside to that is if it's an ion, if you're ionized, you are now limited to a focus action because you'll get the ion going over gas cloud. And yes, you have the defensive advantages of the lock. So what kind of effect do you think this is going to have on the game? What are your like hot takes? Are you happy for the news? Let's start with Connor, just in case we lose you.
Well, it's clearly made this easier for new players to come in with these simplification of a rule system. And now that rocks, asteroids, and debris no longer punish you in any way near as much as they used to, new players can run onto them with abandon.
Yeah, pretty much.
That would be sarcasm, Australia. I know occasionally you guys don't pick that one up from me, but that would be sarcasm. Otherwise, I like it. But I still think the rules are... I like the rules. I really do. I generally do. But they're considerably more complicated than they were.
Yeah.
So AMG, please take a position and just follow it.
Yeah.
Because we're all very confused.
I wouldn't mind them printing the rules either.
Oh, that might be an idea. Or a website. Some sort of crazy concept where we actually get to find it out. But they're good. They're honestly good. They've massively complicated matters, and you no longer can do your cheeky one bank's actually be fine, I'm on a gas cloud. Because now it could be a cheeky one bank, I'm on a gas cloud. Oh shit, I've got three ions. Well, I'm dead. After you, Aaron.
Yeah.
I really love the changes. I think, funnily enough, yeah, I agree. I think they've made the game more difficult in this respect, and I, for one, enjoy that. But overall, I don't think it's a massive change. I think we're going to see some little janky things that people are going to think up eventually to take advantage of it, which I'm looking forward to. I think that's the best part of that X-Wing is the...
Breaking it?
Yeah, breaking it. Like that's... Like, as much as I hated versing the list, that scum... Fours list that dominated XTC and I think the GSP event after it.
Fat like, scum?
Yeah, the fat scum, the fours, Bosk and whatnot. Like, that's what I think what makes X Wing great.
Bosk is Saj Han.
Yeah. Lando.
Oh, damn it, yep. So close.
Yeah, I think that's what. I think someone's going to figure out something like that.
Oh,
I think we're getting numerous ones, and certain cards that just literally disappear because of it. I mean, so Quicksilver is it? No, Quicksilver. Quickdraw.
Yep.
I mean, Quickdraw is now like obscene. Like, Quickdraw and do debris. I'll take one damage. It's guaranteed one damage if I roll the dice. It's not a crit. And it's
also like
save double tap with an action.
Yeah, like you go over it.
Yeah.
Crit. Do your shot. Then get your action. So if you do some bonkers stuff like, oh yeah, I'll do a three straight, take my damage after burners. Like, have they clarified when the action and when the damage happens?
The word clarification, unfortunately, is not allowed to be used.
Because I'm seeing after burners, quick draw, and action and shot all happening after a rock. And
that quick draw now chases really you. Matter. Quick draw chases you. Quickdraw doesn't have to get involved in the pack anymore. There's no jousting with Quickdraw. Quickdraw is now an I6 ace.
Yeah.
Proper ace. Probably. Yes, I should have mentioned at the very start of this before anybody thinks I look just dressed up for Nobby, which I obviously would. I am literally at work right now. I know those guys are 8:30 at night, but I'm 10:30 in the morning. So if you keep seeing me moving, it's because I'm doing a lot of screens at the same time. But yeah, I agree with you. I think the concept of break, and some of them are going to be hugely broken before, and they're going to have to literally spot change them, and we're not going to know what they are until, well, one of five or six people show up to an event and just kill everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, they keep a list on the wraps, and suddenly, boom, it's like 16 of them at one event from the same country.
Yeah.
Nantex part three.
Well, speaking of that, like I was going to say for the end of the stream where we like to talk about weird interactions, but like static discharge veins, straight away with the gas clouds, the first thing that came up, and I'm just like, yeah, that's now broken. Because really basically broken. 50% chance of rolling a hit to get an ion, boom, you normally put them on like cheap fireballs, for example, of course, resistant, so I'm biased towards the best faction, I'm sorry, guys. But yeah, like a fireball can just take it, slam, because they can also get access to slam action. So three bank, slam, three bank, over the gas cloud, oh, I'm ionized. Oh, well, guess what? Static discharge mate, hey, have an ion token. Oh, and now I get my own action.
That's the first thing I noticed as well, because my palp defenders list I ran all the time, it has a nice and handy 5 points left over, and static discharge vein is 5 points on the shuttle. Gravy.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Static discharge veins gets banned. You heard it here first.
I'm calling it. This is actually one example of stuff that we don't realize firsthand when you make these kind of changes to the rules, that the consequences that's going to happen. And there's so many interactions inside the game that we have to watch out for that, yes, I think AMG is just going to be like, no, we can't have that, ban it. No, that's broken, ban it. And we might just see a whole, you know, crapshoot of cars being going into the ban pretty damn quickly. I'm a little bit worried for that.
Yeah.
So they shut tractor down, right? Which I completely understand. If you're going to up the obstacle, you have to shut the tractor down. 100%. You can't have that many options to go in on, or tractor on to. But they have upped ion, Ion's been progressively increasing with every AMG release. You've not got any bids anymore, so that's okay. That's ion missiles. They're really cheap. We'll throw them on. Or ion torpedoes, etc. And that just seems to now continually be increasing. We're going to make ion more and more and more thing. You're going to be able to get ionized from gas
right now.
It's going to keep getting worse. That we're going to be building with that concept in mind. You can't run Kylo Ren in a format where everybody's running Connor nets and ion torpedoes. Eventually,
I can't
and your aid is.
Last time I saw a wedge, last time I versed a wedge, it didn't have ion torpedoes on it.
Yeah. And that's now everything's an ace layer, right? Yeah. And if everything's going to keep being an ace layer, well, welcome back to swarms and beef, guys.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I want to mention that was also where we noticed that with the Crates Cup. There was a lot of teams opting for, in the sideboard, going the ion direction. I think when I made my switch to the Jedi, I didn't because I opted, well, look, hey, we're switching to Road. I want Force because Force is good. I didn't have much to play around with. I did have the jam, but that was it. But the three rounds before that, I was like, oh, yeah, well, we got, okay, Iron Torpedoes. And yeah, I'm going to do Iron Torpedoes. And I'm going to do Iron Torpedoes. I pretty much went, I had Iron Torps on my Poe the first three rounds. I think Matt as well was taking Ion.
Aside from one round, he ran ion torpedoes and ion missiles every round.
Yep.
Well, missiles are cheap. Yeah, you get rid of bid, you expect that. 2 points is literally dead easy.
Yeah.
But they're also well cost because they don't do any flaming damage, really.
Yeah. They are well costed. They just need a pip on them, I reckon.
Yeah, that could do it. I won't lie to you, I'm currently restructuring an FO list to stick three sets of ion missiles on it as of last night. I was like, just put it on everything.
I've been looking at, I've been trying to make for a long time three I-1 silencers with ion torpedoes and then what's it called? Baron with targeting
sync. The Von Rogue.
That
sounds horrendous.
Yeah, that's been something I've been trying to keep in the works for a while, but Von Rogue dies so quickly. So once people go, oh, if I kill him, I'm not scared anymore, you kind of go, oh.
Fine. He didn't used to, but the world has changed.
Yeah.
Now the world is full of explosives and ionizations, and he used to be quite good at hiding about and taking pot shots. Now everybody wants to hurt him.
Poor guy.
Yeah, as an ace player by heart, it's all a little upsetting. But those, you know, amateurs who are playing Resistance and Rebels, they're having a field day.
The
list and all do the same move. I got you.
Creative.
Tell me, Nobby, if you get ionized, do you even fucking notice?
Yes.
One forward focus.
I'm like, oh, A-wings have a one straight. You know, sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it's like, hey, I want to do a one straight with an A-wing for a change. I'm not sad, but for the most part, no.
Nothing
I like
new. Yeah, we pull out that shiny, brand new straight one template and put it down.
I'll tell you what, Andre Oler doesn't give a damn. One forward. I'll bank next turn, I guess.
Yeah.
The one change I actually am not a fan of is the friendly bumping, which has been mentioned in the chat.
We're going to get to that.
I think that is a disgustingly shit change.
Yeah. Well, Hexile
has not using it yet. Well, they are. They're using half it, right? So Scott from Hexile created his own rules.
Yeah. We're taking over jumping down chat now. No.
You're jumping the gun. Hold on. Right. The obstacles. Obstacles. Firstly, yay or nay? Are you in favor of the obstacles? You raise your hand.
We both said
obstacle changes are good. Obstacle changes are good. All right, I just want that said. All right, I like the obstacle changes. Good, we'll go. Now we go to the next point they released, and now we're doing the overlap changes. So you don't like them, we heard that. But what are they? What are the changes?
I'd say that transition, Nobby, was so organic.
Yeah. Aaron, take it away. Give us a quick breakup of what the obstacle changes are. I'm going to have my drink here.
Obstacle changes.
Sorry, the overlap changes.
Overlap changes. So essentially, if you bump into a friendly ship, you take a damage and you get no action. And if you bump into an enemy ship, you may still take a red focus or calculate action if it's printed on your action bar. And you can shoot, and ships can shoot range zero of each other, but attacker may not modify at all. Which,
just to clarify, you don't get the range bonus either, right?
Yeah, range bonus as well. Well, yeah, that's what they might modify, I believe.
Because range zero has no bonus, which makes no sense because you're closer than range one.
No modifying and no adding of dice.
Yeah,
you can't even do stuff like Seventh Fleet Gunner or Jan, which isn't technically modifying, but you can't add the extra die.
What you can do is fly Tavison and not care.
That is true. You cannot do that and not care.
Or does Dash go? Dash goes back to four dice. That means it.
That's true. What happened to Dash? Shit.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. You guys are doing so well with these reading and these rules and just implementing huge changes that you've absolutely no fucking idea about.
Yeah, Tavison just goes, oh, okay, four dice, I don't mind. Whatever.
Oh, actually, he's going to say range 0 to 1. That specifically says range 0 to 1.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what the answer to that one is.
That's all right, then. Dash, oh, I guess they had Zeb Crew. They already thought about that.
Yes, FFG did.
Yeah, FFG. Oh, how I miss FFG.
Come back, all is forgiven. We've got cookies.
We forgive you.
We'll get a fucking flower basket. Come on.
Yes, so I am not a fan of these changes in any way, shape, or form. Mainly because I am an I-1 flyer, ace blocker, and my opponent gets to just dial them wherever the hell they want, and if I block them, they're okay with it.
Yeah, as an ace player, I also hate them. So, I mean, you say I'm okay with that because I get my red focus. That's not what an ace wants to be doing.
No. Unless you're like hollow or something.
We're breaking this one step at a time. I think we'll just leave it there before we get too defamatory. It's just shit. Should we stick with shit?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, shit.
Yeah. So you just want to clarify, they mentioned on the stream, and again, the rules have not been released, but they said there's no modifying of the opponent's dice either. So things like intimidation, crack shot, outmaneuver.
No, juke.
Well, and juke. Well, those won't work. Even if you're range on the ship that is at range zero. So other ships can take advantage of it. Unless, of course, they decide that, hey, you know, we're not only going to not have modification of the dice for your defender, for the range zero, but also we're going to just ban intimidation. And for me, I just lost my shit with that. Like, I don't get if you're bringing in a rule that says you can't modify stuff for the range zero attack, why are you banning intimidation then? It won't matter. It won't be able to be applied on the range zero attack.
But they're all range zero. Oh yeah, okay, yeah. That's a fair point. I'm guessing they're assessing the fact that we're all now just going to sit in a car park and intimidation, you know, just became Dooku. Like, it just became obscene, or Luke Gunner, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, how did they address? Was it the ship that shoots, it can't modify its dice, or its dice can be modified full stop?
They said you cannot affect... They didn't actually say modify like that. They said you cannot... The ship attacking cannot affect the defender's dice. That's how they said it. They didn't actually use... The rules.
Oh, I was thinking more about Dooku and Palp and stuff like that. Like, because that's already been defined in previous rules as, like, say, for example, Palpatine works around Padme because Palpatine is affecting the dice, not.
This sounds like you have an understanding of the rules and you're asking a detailed question, of which I cannot answer because AMG have not clarified it yet. We don't know.
There's that word again, people. clarified.
Yeah, we need a new little effect knobby that comes up and says clarify.
I'll work on that. Yeah.
I feel so bad for the guys who are streaming every day or once a week on these big streams, and they're getting asked rules questions. They're like,
"Yeah,
we don't know. Like, we got best guess principles going on here."
Yeah, why not the rules Illuminati? You're going to rule on all this shit until AMG clarifies these in about 6 months.
That's pretty optimistic.
8 months.
Gestation period for an elephant?
Oh, I don't know what that is. I'm going to guess 12 months.
I think it's 2 years, right? No, I'm trying to sound smart. It's not working. Did he guess it right, ladies and gentlemen? Survey says 18 to 22 months. I'll take it.
I'll give it. Yes.
Okay, that was a random interlude, sorry.
What they want, they did specify what they wanted. So I guess it's not really clarification, it's more of the intention of the rule was that the range zero shot is the worst possible alternative, which is you throw your range two shot unmodified into a defender who can modify at will. Or capability, I guess.
I'm going to go back to the same point, right? So I take my Upsilon, which only negative to an Upsilon is, it can't turn around, right? It's never going to again.
Mm.
It's just going to stand there and pull the trigger over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, you go bump, focus.
I mean, the temptation to play four of them is huge.
Yeah.
Just come up the map.
Well, three. Can't fit four, but thank God.
I think you can. Four basics?
The 58 points or something.
Maybe you're right. Well, loads of them anyway.
Just cheat a little bit. It's fine. We were right. Cheat just a little bit. Yeah.
But Muse makes it pretty good as well, or Baffle.
Yeah.
But I feel what I was going to say.
The currently good ship has just got better. Currently format meta based ship is currently better.
I just want to say, like, on the note of like range zero attacks, you're taking away all the mods on offense. You're not allowed to affect your green dice on the defenders, right? What's the point of just having the shooting? Why not just make it that you can't shoot? Like, the fact that you're giving bad shots.
You remind me what I was going to say.
What?
Which was, in the end, I would still rather have the unmodified shot than no shot. Because you might just do a Garvin and roll,
hit, yeah, sometimes that happens. But yeah, also, if you
statistically,
do
eventually you will.
Yeah, yes, eventually, exactly. One day.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I want to make sure, the point is that the ship that's bumped now can perform that red action, right? That focus action, right? And they have that focus. But for the range zero shot, they can't spend that focus on the offense. They have to save it for defense. So actually it means that when you are bumping a ship, like in this sample you said, like when you finally do capture an ace, right? Guess what? You don't have intimidation, so you can't reduce the agility of that ship because intimidation's been banned, curse you. If you had Mel, which, you know, then that might be good. But let's say you finally do capture the ace, they have a focus token for defense as well, so they're going to be just as hard to still shoot.
Yeah.
You
capture Suntia and he's got two focus tokens.
Exactly. Let's be honest. He's gone. I know he's not on the ban list. He's on the unplayable list.
Because of Rogue.
They've taken one of the best aces in the game, which is the most fun and the highest skill cap, and just bucked it out the window.
Oh, yeah. He's
Suntir is gone.
I haven't seen anyone really fly Suntir lately.
I just had cards printed for Sunteer, and they're gorgeous. And now they're going to sit in the vault for the rest of time.
Yeah.
I raise you. I got some really nice intimidation from Shane. Like, gorgeous, beautiful, hard plastic, gloss, intimidation cards. Yeah, intimidation being on the banned list is not sitting free with me. I think it's just
you need a big rubber stamp, go banned, and then post them all out.
That would be amazing. I think I would actually prefer that over the actual beautiful art.
I'm in.
Oh, that's an excellent idea. You make a banned series of cards with the big fucking.
Well, do you think anyway, they will release the cards as like an extended, so like anything goes, or they're just going to have an outright ban for all formats? Because they've got standard and extended.
There will be extended styles. Mode, they said that.
They're going to be banned in both, so this is gone. Okay.
No. There'll be extended mode, which has got every single ship and upgrade.
Yeah, but they put it in the ban, so the ban list won't work for...
The ban list is for standard.
It's just for standard.
And competitive mode, competitive or OP will be standard.
See, that's the phrase, right? Nobody around this fictional table and probably listening to this has any interest in tabletop X-Wing. If we're going to play tabletop X-Wing, I'll play whatever rules I fucking want to.
Yeah.
This entire conversation relates to tournament. That's what it relates to. Because it can't relate to anything else. When they say there's two, there's the casual, super, it'll be fine. And then there's the tournament. That's the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
Because casual is whatever I want to play.
The AMG... is marketing to the casual.
No, they're not. They're saying they are. And I've made this point in a couple other podcasts. Like, we want to bring people into the game. It's now so complicated that three people who play professional or tournament X-Wing are sitting around trying to work out what the rules are.
Oh, yes. That's a good
point. That is not an open access game.
Because you make a good point about the casual table, because that's why they introduced the 12 rounds to play, because... You know, not everyone can fit in a 75-minute game, so they're going to play 12 rounds instead, which takes, on average, 90 minutes to play for the casual people.
Well, I'd say hours for casual people, sorry. 2 hours.
Yeah, well, trust me, at 2:30 in the morning, I wasn't saying nice things about you, Noe.
Yeah.
I was like, this game is going forever. And it's going forever because there's so many interactions to work out in the whole bump sphere that you are now super aware that you've got two or three turns left.
Yeah.
As opposed to speeding up or whatever else in a clock, you're not super aware. Now,
they've exponentially increased decision anxiety because it now fundamentally matters. Whereas, you know, anyone who plays top tier X-Wing, and it gets down towards the end of the game, like the last 15 minutes, you get through like 8 to 10 to 12 turns in that time because both players are very respectful of each other. They want to give the other person the opportunity to win the game. Like, very rarely you come across real time stallers, but everyone I verse, like, it's just like quick, because it's all about just getting those decisions done and moving. So, yeah.
And when there's two ships left on the board, I think my record is something like 45 turns in 15 minutes because there's two ships left on the board and it's relatively obvious where they're going.
Yeah.
Like, at all points, because both people are good. And both people are trying to line that shot up. And both people know they're not going to get the amazing haymaker shot because the other person's not going to bugger up that badly.
Yeah.
And we've got a huge amount of turns in. Anyway, I'm going to stop criticizing them because I literally, like every stream, and specifically me, they're annoying the hell out of me. And.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, okay. Just talking, going back to the overlap changes. What are your first impressions? Like, we all don't like it, but we're all in agreement with that. But what do you think that's going to have? What kind of impact is that going to have to the list building side of things? So, like, large bases are now going to worry about obstacles and everything like that, but also about bumping. Do you think it's a positive, the fact that you've got actions after bumps? Or is it also a negative because they have a large base ship and they've got more punishing obstacles? That's the thing I want to...
I think we're going to see two main changes. That being more bodies, even more bodies. Like, say if you're playing Empire, why take, you know, 10, 12 points of upgrades when you can fit another ship on there, which can shoot? Health is going to be so important. And the second one we're going to see is the other swing, which is insane jank combos that take advantage of this new rule. The fact that AMG has to go and ban it and ban more and more cards because it's not fair.
I go even one step further. I think we're going to see a massive reduction in large base ships that were traditionally didn't care what obstacles. Traditionally, yeah. were aware they weren't taking actions after turn three. Yeah. Bossk, for instance. Because Bossk is now lethally dangerous.
But now the fact that they will be able to get actions if they do bumps, but they have to watch for obstacles, do you think that's enough of a...
But that's the point. It just can't get through the middle. Bossk can't three hard anymore past that gas cloud and through that debris.
Yeah.
So he's now restricted to playing around the edges.
Yeah, I mean, or really, really good turn zero. Like, you have to be like a phenomenal turn zero player to make Bossk work.
We're all going to get better at that, though. In fact, obstacles became a really big thing at the start of lockdown, and it came in a lot of chats, and people are going to get going to be much more focused on it, I think.
Yeah. I think the fact of choosing obstacles now, too, is going to be very more important to your list. You can't just take gas clouds and go, hey, it doesn't matter. It does. And also, this is also why we're all in, I guess, why we're all in favor for seeing these new changes. There is one case of, though, the road rules, like when you have like ships moving first, and if you do you try to like go for the move so you can get the first, if you move first, you can get the here and get the bump and force your opponent onto a rock kind of thing. Do you think that's going to have much impact in the play, or is it just roads going to be just what it is currently? Do you think it's going to
I don't know about you guys, but I've never dialed in a 50-50 move on the basis that I may or may not win the road rule.
I did once. Oh, I have actually.
Did you win it?
Twice. Speaking of the Crates Cup final match, do you remember when my Lumi did a three straight and bumped into the back of Garvin? If I had moved first, it would have gone over in front of Garvin. Garvin would have bumped in the back of my Lumi, and he wouldn't have been able to fix his console fire. But because he actually came first.
I remember that.
He moved first.
It's a decent scenario where your risk and reward are high enough, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a case where, yes, actually, I did do it for the road. Unfortunately, of course, dice don't like me, and I will second play it.
I've done it a couple of times throughout the Crates games, mostly because... But I was running Grudge and three silences, so it was mostly for Grudge. If I moved first, I would boost to block their bomber from boosting and yada, all that kind of jazz, and I would dial in 50-50 movers based on if I got to boost first or not. But in general case, no, I usually go with the safest option.
Yeah.
Safest or the most optionable option. The bombers have a very good timing for road because pre-system boost, et cetera, has kind of massaged out the difficulty and danger a little.
Yeah.
Silencers have the other options. I did try silencer with the sensitive controls, and I'm never putting it back on.
Might see some more sensitive controls running around.
Yeah.
I heated up. Passionately. God, the number of times I wanted to boost focus was fucking outrageous.
I know, right?
I went 2-1, but it was a frustrating set of games, full stop. Like, it really was. I think our short version is there is nothing positive to say.
Yeah.
Oh, but the list building, I think it's going to affect it. Obviously it will. Everything always affects list building. It's probably the most talked about part of the game is list building.
Yep.
I think the big factor is now you're going to delete X number of ships just forever, and other ones that weren't being played are now back in big.
And upgrades.
Is Bomber going to come back with a crew?
Yes.
No.
Welcome back, my brother. I have missed you greatly. Your ship is sitting here waiting for your return.
Bomber's back with a vengeance.
Hey, look, this is a perfect example. You want to bring Bomber back? Like, I used to love it when I had Intimidation Mill and I bumped Bomber. How do you counter Bobber's rerolls? You take away his green dice. But now guess what?
You bump him. Now he gets a focus and the crew.
Like, it'll be great.
He gets a focus and reroll.
And the best thing is Bobber won't be shooting the ship. He won't be shooting the ship he's bumped into. He'll be shooting any other ship.
Yeah.
And just be using the reroll.
The thing that annoys me most about the crew, Bobber crew, is that clearly it was removed for a reason. Like, Bobber went up and up and up in points, and it got removed, and then Bobber just disappeared from the meta. Like, I'm surprised their first thought was, let's give back the crew instead of, hey, let's drop it 5 points. So, yeah, I think it's a very, very AMG decision.
Well, I'm going to enjoy the 6 or 7 weeks I get to play with it before they re-ban it again.
Yeah.
I mean, assuming they do. As you said, it's a very AMG decision. FFG were good at reacting. I mean, I give them a lot of credit for their Nantex spot change.
Yeah.
AMG have said they won't be doing regular updates to points. They'll be doing what needed. And you're like, well, does that mean you'll be paying literally zero attention or as much attention to the community as you currently are?
Yeah.
See, I told you I wasn't going to bitch. Aaron, I blame you entirely for that. God damn it.
I had that way with people.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They want, I think for me, like when 2.0 came out and they said, you know, like points updates regularly, it means a shift in meta. Sometimes they changed points not because they needed to, but because they wanted to shift the meta. This ship's not seeing play. Let's drop it a couple of points. Let's, you know, like mix things up. This was good for the health of the game, and saw players building different things. But if AMG look at it like the point of like, oh, they just want to get to a completed game and they'll come to a point where they don't need a point update, at that point, the game will eventually run its course and just die off. So I, for one, really wanted to see them keep regular updates and not just with the scenarios. Now, this brings me to the last point of the stream is that they were actually demonstrating a scenario case gameplay. Now, I'm not going to go into the actual scenario itself other than to say that there was four different types they mentioned, right? They had basically capture the flag. I think they had two capture point ones and one that's more predominantly against dogfighting. But you're meant to get score points for getting objectives, which kind of take away the point of playing the game for dogfighting, which was kind of what they mentioned last stream. And changing the direction again, you know, that's shots fired at that direction. But anyway, the point I want to say is that, what was the point I was going to make? I actually had a point to this. the point. Competitive OP, they said they were going to do for scenario play. So does that mean that they're not going to look at doing any OP for the traditional 206 dogfight game that we have all grown to love? And they're only going to be supporting it for competitive scenario play? Right?
Like that's, I mean, let's be honest. Let's be honest. We've had no competitive, or we've had no EP, yeah. OP since lockdown anyway, so... survey says, who cares?
Well, I would say you're probably correct that that's what they're going for, which I don't see that as a bad thing because the community has really stepped in and has been running the competitive dogfighting tournaments. And, you know, this is kind of a way of AMG saying, like, you can, if you want to do that, go and play in GSP, go play Hexiled, you know, all those ones, and we'll do all the intricate rule scenario ones, which like you can copy as well, but like they can take the hand on, well, the lead on that one, and I don't think it's a bad thing.
That was far too logical. Literally, you've gone from A to B and you've gone concisely through it in what I consider to be a logical and clear pattern which just does not exist.
I want to raise one very important point on that is that if the OP is for scenario, do you think it will be competitive?
Oh, no. I think it will suffer from this is the correct list for this scenario. But if the scenario is random, then you still have to bring something that can do all four. Otherwise, you're potentially throwing away three quarters of your games if you bank all on one scenario.
Or do you mean, is it just going to be store-based pack jobs? As opposed to, like, Christ. The World Championships of Scenarios, it's just going to be, we've sent everybody these fun packs for you to play.
Oh, and, like, store events, yeah, true. It might be that.
Almost certainly, right? In which case, I won't know, so I won't care.
I don't see them running Worlds as a scenario-based thing. Like,
no.
Can you imagine the final table, and, you know, someone's got one set for Capture Flag, the other guy's got a list that's best for dogfighting, and they pull dogfighting. Like, boring.
But so, yes, but that's kind of like my point too. Is the scenario base, the OP play that they're going to be organized, the organized play for scenarios, I should say. Look, my impression is for most people out there playing X-Wing currently, they enjoy killing each other. To put it simply, we enjoy battling it out, a game where there's a victor and a loser, and we know the rules and we all build on the same rules, right? And we enjoy that competitive nature of the game. But when it comes to scenario play, can that have that same competitive feel in those scenarios? Or is it just going to be for, like, you know, where there's doesn't matter who wins or loses, it's just all about having fun on the game. Because the way I see it is the previous history from these extravaganza events that AMG have hosted is they don't know balance if it bit them in the ass. No offense to them, but
I think you're a little late for no offense.
I'm talking for the future here, so hopefully it gives me time to go back in that. But yes, like I see that as them saying, like, we're just not going to support competitive play. And as you said, yes, we can do it ourselves. But I, for one, used to like the loot. That was one of the things that I'm driving. I see that nice top four range ruler or templates or dice or whatever it is. I see that. And I want that. I want that goal. That's going to be. And if you get there and you get that goal and you get that loot, you're like, okay, I've achieved something in that competitive environment. But when it goes to the scenario play, we're going to still have that. It's going to be, oh, you congratulations. Participation.
Oh my God. The ego fucking run in this game is huge. Like the minor celebritism that comes out of it, et cetera, is pretty much everybody's main goal. I mean, let's be honest.
Everyone wants to be a household name.
It's like, I have won two sets of templates, and I'm super thrilled about this. And then it's like, I put so many hundreds of hours of work into getting these two sets of templates. And then I thought to myself, I could have bought both sets of those templates for under $20. But it doesn't matter, because they're huge. They're so important to me, and yet they are worth almost nothing.
Yeah, but well, they're worth a bit to people who didn't win them. But
they're worth massive amounts to me, huge amounts to me. But their fiscal value is zero. Well, it's $7 or $10 or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. They're not massive cash prize. I haven't won a car or yacht or something, but these are big things for me. Those Camino templates, I can't wait. Like, I actually, child at Christmas, cannot wait to get them. Yeah. That is a major factor of Tournament X-Wing. Like, look at my dice. Look at my range 3 range ruler, which costs $1.20 to print.
I am so sad.
It doesn't matter, because it's one of it.
I am so sad that I got into X-Wing after the cool dice of X-Wing all are in the past.
No, yeah, me too. But then again, I just went to eBay and spent $700.
Oh my God.
You and me.
I won this 15 years ago, and this is still sitting right beside me.
Yeah.
And has never, ever left.
Is that Pokemon card?
No, it's MTG National Champion 2007.
Oh, okay. Nice.
But I mean, the value I have of this is huge.
Yeah.
And what it's actually worth as well. $15?
Yeah.
$20? Something like that.
Do you think you get that same kind of value out of the prizes in the scenario play?
No, I really don't. I think you hit the nail on the head. Yeah. I think it's going to give everybody an excuse to lose.
Yeah.
I think the only way you could introduce the scenario play is it either A, you have a tournament and it's just the one scenario for the whole tournament, so people build this before it, or B, you bring in something similar like Armada does, where if you lose first or second player, wherever it is, you choose the objective you play. I don't know, I haven't played Armada, but I'm guessing on this rule here, but I believe it's Armada does it. So having a way to influence which objective you can get, as opposed to being purely random, I think that would then allow it to be more competitive, because Armada makes it work. Legion does?
Maybe
sideboarding. Sideboarding, I think. I was a really big fan of sideboarding in the Crane Scum.
Yeah, I agree. I think it needs
to be curbed in a little bit, because Marcel had something like 72 points in sideboard. And I think that would be a bit of a joke to take to a tournament.
Yeah.
With your folders.
Yeah.
Right. Let's see. What's your sideboard?
How much time do you need before the game? But yeah. Like, one thing in the chat that someone raised up that did actually say that the scenarios are going to be random. And the other thing is, let's say they're not random. Let's say you said, like, they have, like they actually have a say, okay, we're going to do this particular scenario first, and everybody's going to play the same scenario. Do you actually think that the scenario itself can be balanced?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to go with a really big there. I'm going to go, like, a really big square. I don't know. Let's wait and see. Yeah. Like, holes hardly. I'm not ruling.
Anyway. I'm going to just go from a different perspective. With the video games I play, all the competitive ones I play, they are all objective ones I play. I do not play ones where the whole objective is to get more kills than the other team. Purely because it creates an extra layer of strategy in the game, which just because you kill the opponent more often does not mean you're a better team. just means that you've got more mechanical skill. So it just takes a lot longer to balance it. Like, for example, Counter-Strike, they're still balancing, and it's been around for 20-something years. So, like, it'll just have more kinks to iron out.
Can they do it in, like, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or however many there? 6 weeks. 6 weeks is mid-February.
No.
Yeah.
Let's wait and find out. Honestly, I think that this one's got to be a hold fire and see, right? Like, yeah. See what it looks like.
Capture the flag would be interesting, but I think some.
It's going to be great if we both have
advantage.
But we both have capture the flag lists. Like, it's going to be great fun. I love the concept of that. But
yeah,
definitely, as you say, that could just be the right list for it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 100 ways of balancing it. I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt and just wait and see. Which I know I've never done.
But like capture the flag is a good example, and everyone knows what it is. Factions with ships that go fast obviously have a big advantage.
Well, four silencers is like...
Yeah, four silencers, like, good luck.
No. Four silencers with the targeting scramblers. So, hey, do a 10.5 first turn, capture the flag and be boosted, ready to turn in.
Sensor scramblers.
Yeah, sorry, sensor scramblers, not target scramblers. Sensor scramblers. A decloak, five straight, boost. Capture the flag, hard turn. You can even focus boost too. Hard turn, then back out of way.
Cheery bye.
Yeah,
I think that's gonna be a fucker.
Yeah,
I just gonna point out now, I just realized that this is live streaming.
Yes.
20 seconds ago when you said somebody in the chat said, "What chat? What the hell are you talking about?" Oh shit, we're on Twitch.
We're on Twitch. Yeah,
we're recording it live on Twitch.
yeah, there's no editing out here.
All right.
I
will publicly say I have a maximum of 2-3 minutes left before I'm going to either leave you guys to it or.
Yeah. Well, look, we'll wish you off. Well, we're about to close up anyway. So, look, Merry Christmas to you, Connor. I look forward to the endeavors that you have next year, especially in the Trilogy tournament, taking that Scrub and Dom with you to. I don't know if it's going to be victory.
You'll
or not.
Get a reply from Ollie. You wait and see.
Oh wait, this was not the Smack Talk channel. Sorry, my mistake. I got that wrong. I'll post it in there later on. Well, guys, say congratulations. At the moment, you are still in the lead for the Mr. Big Mouth. So for anyone there who wants to join in the Smack Talk, try to knock Connor off his perch, you're welcome to.
I wish you all the very best of luck.
Been killing it in there. So we'll let you go. Aaron, anything you'd like to say before we wind this up?
Just that we're the Crate Cup champions, so good luck.
Yes. That's our Smack Talk right there. You see? Yeah, we don't need to say anything. Yeah, just Crate Cup's champions. That's all we need to post. Done. That was...
Ollie will be posting his CV in the Smack Talk.
How many team tournaments has he won?
I think there's a hot sauce bet. I just remember. I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
I said I will happily hot sauce if you guys want to on the basis that I don't care if I have to drink it. But no, maybe we'll just go with a little bit more respectful than he was last time and possibly a little less humble on the way out.
Humble? Oh, I don't know. Anyway,
I thought you just said that X-Wing's full of ego. That's just not going to work.
Oh, pure ego. 100%. Holy shit.
And I just want to quickly...
I'm assuming the entire chat is diving and going, Connor is humility personified.
No,
this is the nicest person in X-Wing.
Yeah, exactly. I am the nicest person in X-Wing.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, before you go, I also want to mention last year, actually, I haven't mentioned it for a few weeks now, but the Patreon support, we do have our next card going out at the end of the month, just after all the Christmas. It is a Fang Fighter. It is a Zealous Recruit. That's it there. So everybody who's on the Patreon, we're going to be getting one of those. They're really, really good. Gorgeous. And if you're not a member and you want to get into it, !! Patrons in the Twitch chat here. Do sign up. There's lots of good, nice, juicy loots. And that is the Patreon card of the quarter. So, with that said, mentioned that now. All done and dusted. Look, I want to thank Connor for joining us. Really appreciate it. Lots of fun. We have to do it again.
Really appreciate it too, guys.
Yeah, and thank you for the time, especially, as I say, it's a work day over there. Wishing you and your team a Merry Christmas.
Can I add one final thing? And I know I'm joking. PFO's announcement and across the entire server set. I don't want to expand upon it because I don't know what stage he's at, but really, pay attention to that, guys. That guy is altruistically doing something quite fabulous, along with a load of other people. Have a read. Excellent. It's on every Discord.
Yep.
That's a good find.
Yep, absolutely. They're doing great work, and I'm looking forward to that future of X-Wing.
Yeah, me too. And I will be covering this in a much greater length at some podcast in the future, along with everybody else who will be doing it. So yeah,
Which podcast? Shut it out.
It'll definitely be Spicy podcast at some point, but I'm assuming Ollie might run that one himself. Other than that, I'll just invade globally as I always do.
That's it. Welcome back anytime.
Appreciate it, bud. And I will take you up on that offer whenever things are more secured up. Merry Christmas to both of you, if I don't see you.
You too, mate.
Merry Christmas.
And to everybody who's watching and or will watch.
Yeah, that's it. Well, we will be putting this episode up with episode 3 that I got really lazy and didn't actually post up because of editing, blah, blah, blah. They're getting up together. But Aaron, any last words before we go?
I already did it.
No, you did it. Champions. Champions! Yeah. With that, we're finishing up. Have a good night, guys.